of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today. My name is Bob Arthurs. It was Bob Arthurs yesterday. It'll be Bob Arthurs tomorrow, as far as I know. But we are glad that you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. And we pray that this half hour will be time well spent as we look to the Word of God, the Sermon on the Mount. We're getting very close to the end of that, and then we will be transitioning into our newest study. So that's what our goal is at this point in time. So I would like to invite you out to our services tonight. We are in our Fire Bible study, and what that is, it's a Pentecostal study Bible. And we are raising up disciples. We're making disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. That's what our goal is on Wednesday night. And so we are going through 77 theological articles that are written in what used to be called the Full Life Study Bible. And what happened was some pastors in a foreign country, we developed this Full Life Study Bible for them. And when they got a hold of it, they said, "This Bible is fire." And that wasn't a negative sense. It was a positive thing. You know, it had them on fire for Jesus. And so that's how the name transitioned there. And so our goal is to make sure that our people are grounded in the Word of God. So tonight at 7 p.m., we will be meeting in our sanctuary, and if you are available, that would be great. And if you got young people that you would like to make sure that they are grounded in the Word of God as well, so that they can be established in their faith, so that they can thrive and prosper beyond the confines of your home, we have that as well. I will tell you this, there is also a student Bible and a kids Bible. So there's a youth Fire Bible, and there is a smaller kids Fire Bible that helps them to develop a passion for the Word of God as well. So those resources are available. So we're in Matthew chapter 7 today, verses 21 through 24. We're just about to finish up with verse number 23, but it's going to take us a little while. And it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" So we can recognize, if we're observant, if we're looking for it, we can recognize that lawlessness exists and that it is practiced in many places. What I want to share to start off today is that this statement that Jesus makes are to people who cry out to him, "Lord, Lord." Friend of mine, we were preaching a revival in Fiji, a conference in Fiji, and a couple of hundred people got saved. It was a glorious event. And he said, "Look, today I don't want to ask you, 'Do you know Jesus?' I want to ask you, 'Does Jesus know you?'" And I will tell you that Jesus doesn't have an opinion. He has the truth. He has the actual facts of the matter. You and I can have opinions, we can have feelings and things like that, but what ultimately matters is, does Jesus know that he's the Lord of my life and the Lord of your life? And so we need to painfully come to grips with the fact that lawlessness can exist even inside the house of God. And, you know, that's a place where lawlessness is not supposed to exist, and we're gonna cover that at some point in time. So here it says, you who practice lawlessness. And so I want you to know that committing sin is never a good thing. But you also don't want to practice that, make it such a recurring event in your life that that becomes your lifestyle. So there are a lot of people who live with the mindset, well, if I've blown it, I might as well blow it big. No, you don't want to do that. You want to have your spiritual low points to be as few and as shallow as possible, and you want your spiritual high points to be as numerous and as jubilant as they could possibly be. So you do not want to practice. The more you practice, the better you get at something. So you don't want to practice lawlessness. And again, we talked about the quality of the practice. So you don't want to get good at lying, so don't tell lies. You don't want to get good at stealing, so don't be a thief. So those are the sorts of things that are being described here. And so we need to take a look at this word lawlessness. And so we're going to go through not nearly as many passages as we did on seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But we're going to go through some passages in the Word of God that will help us to understand this concept of lawlessness a little bit better. So I want to take you into the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and verse number 31, it says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is, you know what, that's too far down. Let's move up to verse number 33. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in all three measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into his house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field, which was earlier in chapter 13. And so it said, he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, a few things that we could take a look at in this verse, and that is that God is the Lord of the harvest, and it says he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. I want to get you started early in 2023 here to realize that God has sown some wonderful gifts into your life through the people that he has brought into your life. And they're not just good if you like them. They're not just good seed if you love them, if you enjoy hanging around them. They're good seed if they point you to Jesus and help you to become a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to reframe our perspective, if you will, to see that people are not our problem. People are the source that God has, or the seed that God has sown into our lives to help us to fulfill the goals of the kingdom better than we could have ever done it before. Don't overlook the blessings that God has brought into your life. Don't take them for granted, because one day they will be gone. And let me tell you, when those things happen, when there is a departure from your life from whence there is no coming back, then you realize, you know, that person was a major blessing in my life. Through the years, there have been a lot of people that have come, a lot of people who've passed away. In 2022, I did way too many funerals for my liking. Through the years, I've done a lot, and there were a lot of people that came to church a couple of times and I'd done their funerals. There's some people that I've done their funerals. They never come to Merit Assembly of God. And then there were people that were such marvelous blessings that it was, like, God, I'm going to need you to sow another seed into my life, multiple seeds, because that's a major, there's a major void in the harvest field of my life right now, because that person was a gift from you. And God, he's the God of all comfort, and he does that. So that was, wipe my eyes just a little bit there. Look at the people at your life, and you might want to analyze them, because there are some good seeds. And then it goes on and it talks about, but the tares are the sons of the wicked when the enemy sowed them. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. You also have an enemy that sows people into your life to be a distraction and a hindrance. I have never been the type of person that, or the type of pastor that wanted to rejoice whenever someone moved on from Merit Assembly of God. Never found it. You have to understand, when I came, I was young. I was in my early 30s. Now I've been there 30 years. And, I thought everybody was going to like me, because I basically do two things. I preach the word and I love people. And I thought, you know, when I grew up, those were the two secrets to growing a church, is preaching the word and loving people. And I found out that those things weren't universal truths across all time frames. And there was a person one time who, they didn't tell me this, they told a family member this, that said, look, my purpose at this church is to oppose your husband. And I was like, well, first of all, that's not biblical. But now, you know, I would say this, the enemy will sow some opposition into your into your life. And so when that person moved on, and they've gone on to, live a very successful life as far as I know. And, I was praying, and, God said, you need, I mean, I, they were my friend. They were a friend of mine, close friend. And, when they moved on, I said, God, what's going on? He said, I needed to shift them so I could take you higher. And just like a shift on a manual transmission of a car, where you've got to take your foot off the accelerator, you've got to push the clutch in, and then you change gears, take your foot off the clutch, and put your foot on the accelerator, where there's this little bit of lag time. There was a lag. There was a loss. There were some other people that departed at that time as well. But I can tell you that our church ended up moving forward, and it didn't take too long. It didn't take too long. So look at the people in your life and ask God, say, God, are these people sown by you? If so, they're good seed, and I need to glean as much as I can from them and pour as much of me into them as I can. But God, if they're tares, if they're weeds, if they're distractions, would you show it to me so I know that that's not an area that's going to be real fruitful at this point in time? So he describes here that the tares are going to be gathered. This is in verse number 40 of Matthew chapter 13. As the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. So let me talk just a minute about that word offend. That doesn't mean that, well, I'm offended. That's not what that means. This is that they were gathering out of his kingdom all the things that are offensive to God. We live in a society right now that to a large extent is being dictated by the offended. And I'm not saying that we are intentionally going out of our way to offend people. But if the truth offends you, I can't stop telling you the truth just because you're offended. I can speak the truth in love, but the only person that can stop you from being offended, or me from being offended, is you can stop yourself from being offended, and I can stop myself from being offended. But these things are incompatible. These things that are going to be gathered and removed, they are things that are incompatible with the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not a personal offense. It's not, well, they looked at me funny. It's not, well, they didn't shake my hand. I felt overlooked. I felt ignored. I felt overused or whatever. Listen, offense. If you want to study the topic of personal offense, John Bevere wrote a book. It's been over 25 years ago now. That it was called The Bait of Satan. Living as an offended person is a trap of the enemy. And the devil is really good at setting traps. So I want to encourage you, don't live offended. Live forgiven and live forgiving. And so, you know, when it comes to certain non-eternal matters, we are supposed to show patience with those people who are struggling with a particular concept. And so if I, I don't even know, if I was in the presence of a person that they didn't like, I'm just going to pick something stupid. If they didn't like the color orange, okay, I don't wear orange, but if they didn't like the color orange and I wore the color orange intentionally, knowing that it was just going to be a way to give them a little jolt, that's a problem on my part. So if I knew that they didn't like the color orange, or the color orange offended them, then I would intentionally not wear the color orange, because I wouldn't want to create an unnecessary obstacle to being able to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. So one time I went on a missions trip, and the missions coordinator had to be very specific about the color of the team shirts that they picked for us as we went on that missions team, because different political parties and different gangs wore different color shirts. And if you wore a shirt that was adopted by one of the gangs, then you had put yourself in harm's way. So that's the thing about offended there. It's not about whether you're offended. It's about whether God is offended. And, you know, we also need to allow some time for people to grow in their faith. The second thing that is going to be gathered out of the kingdom are all of those who practice lawlessness. Now, if you remember, we were in Matthew chapter 7, and I'm turning over there. And naturally, my pages are moving very slow. And Jesus said to them, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So we see this again, that there are those who practice lawlessness. You and I don't want that to be a reality in our life at all. In Matthew 23, verse number 27, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Living a life that is out of alignment with the Word of God. Okay? Now, if there's anyone that should have known the Word of God, it was the scribes. The scribes, their job was to generate copies of the Torah and the prophets and the biblical writings from the Old Testament. And there were meticulous rules in place, but many times the other groups, Pharisees, they were the most traditional, the most conservative. They were extremely rigid ideologically. They focused on the letter of the law, but they missed the spirit of the law. And he says, "You have an exterior appearance that appears to as if everything is in place and beautiful and functional." He said, "But on the inside, let me tell you God's perspective. He focuses on the inside more than the outside. And inside you are full of dead men's bones." People who were once alive, that God wished was alive, but they have dried up and those bones are no longer functioning, as in enabling movement and function and strength. Now they are just hanging there in a bag of bones. He said, "Inside you are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." That's not good. So he said, even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy. Now, in America, especially in politics, hypocrisy is a cultural issue. They have no problem saying one thing when they are out of power and one thing when they are in power. The you know, people say, well, we can't afford to spend any money on that project because we don't approve of that project, but now our guy's in power, and now we can spend hundreds of times that amount of money. Hypocrisy is everywhere. But you know what? Jesus loves to forgive hypocrites. He loves to bring alignment between what people say and how they act. He loves to forgive hypocrisy. It's not a reason to stay away from the house of God. It's a reason to come to the house of God because it's the only place that hypocrisy gets cured. Jesus is the only one that can deal with it. He said, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Those things that you tell people to observe, you're not observing on your own. Those things that you write about, you don't even understand. One of the things that I shared with our church back, I think it was in November, was that kings, actually I think it was a conversation with one of the men in my church, that kings were actually supposed to, according to the law of Moses, they were supposed to write their own copy of the word of God so that they would know what God had said. It wasn't like, hey, you're the king, we're going to need another copy, you might as well write. No, it was supposed to be so that they would know it, so that they would know what God was warning them of. Do you know that that Solomon, in all of his wisdom, did three things specifically that God had told him not to do? And you can go back and you can read those for yourself. But they were specifically laid out by Moses. These are three things kings are not supposed to do. And Solomon, the wisest king Israel had at that point in time, ended up doing those three things because he didn't know what Moses had said. Let's not be hypocrites. Let's not be practicing lawlessness. Let's say, God, I want my life to line up with your word. We'll get more about that tomorrow here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
For the Lord, Jesus is come.